What's going on with everybody? This your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels, the host of the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. Yo, you guys, man, sit tight, grab your popcorn, go get a Hot Pocket, man, get some cereal, grab your beverage, man, whether that's some milk, a beer, a soda, or some water, man. Sit tight, man. This is the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling, where I interview some of your favorite ring announcers, referees, independent pro wrestlers, you name it, man. You name it, you guys. You tune in, and I'm about to chat some wrestling, man. So sit tight, you guys, and welcome to the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. And yo, ring the bell!
It's your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels. This is episode 37 of the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. What's going on with everybody out there? Appreciate you guys joining me back here for another episode. You dig, man? It's Friday. Appreciate you guys, man. Good morning, good night, good afternoon to all my listeners. If you're new to the channel, you guys, if you're watching on YouTube, I appreciate it if you hit that subscribe button down below. Like it, leave a comment, hit that notification bell so you don't miss an episode, you dig? And also, you guys, don't forget to follow the 1130 Podcast on all social media platforms. But you guys, man, another week of Talk Pro Wrestling, you guys. This episode is going to be a fun one, man. It's going to be a fun one. My guest this week, you guys, coming to us from Detroit, Michigan, you guys, my guy, Deshaun Whip Dog Whipple, you guys. He's the host of the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast. His big podcast returns, you guys, January 29th, where he's going to have Vince Russo on his podcast. Yes, man, Vince Russo, that's going to be an awesome one. Also, you guys that's joining me here on the podcast this week, my co-host, man. Yes, all the way from the ATL, my guy, Gator Live, you guys. He's the co-host of the Down 5 Podcast and Dope Discussions with Erica. We're going to be chopping it up and talking some wrestling, you dig, man? But before we get to that, I want to shout out my guest who was on last week, my guy, Stan Michaels. Appreciate you joining me on the podcast, my guy. But you guys, like I was saying, my guy, Whip Dog, the host of the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast. Big return coming up in a couple of weeks, you guys, with Vince Russo. Man, Gator, Whip Dog, how's it going, man?
What's the word, man? How you feeling, homeboy?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling blessed. How your day going, man?
It's going good, and I gotta tell you, when I do these podcasts, sometimes people don't get a great introduction. But you got it together, man. You did work by the Whip Dog, man. I like that.
Thank you, man.
Definitely. He served that one up. He knocked that one out of the park.
And also, you guys, my co-host here, you can't forget him, the co-host of Down 5 Podcast. Also, you guys, the Dope Discussions with Erica, my guy, Gator Live. What's going on with you, Gator?
What's going on? It's Gator Beater, baby. I am in the building. I appreciate you having me here, man. I appreciate Whip being in the house. You know, I had to give him the salute, man. You know,
I'm in the presence of greatness right now with y'all two boys, man. I'm trying to follow y'all lead.
I'm trying to rock with my man Whip Dog, man. I'm trying to rock with him, man. Since I've been podcasting, I gotta say, man, you're one of the guys who inspired me to go in a different direction in podcasting, because you know, when running across a lot of guys who had podcasts, and you know, of course they would just recap and do, you know, the typical thing, but you know, would just reach out to guys, or you know, get guys and girls as far as legends and producers, you know, everything, writers, you know, your podcast. And I thought that was just so dope. And I was just like, man, I would love to have them on my podcast. Of course, you know, things work out when they work out. And, you know, your energy is so dope, man. You got, you know, the overtop energy. I like you, your podcast, man, and your co-host, my man, Daryl, you know. So, man, it's awesome, man. And I appreciate you joining me here on the podcast, man. But for my viewers, of course, who've been hiding under the rock that don't know something about you, man, can you tell them something cool about you, man?
Okay, well, like you said, first of all, thank you once again for the introduction. My name is Deshaun Whip Dog Whipple. My show, It's called the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast, a.k.a. The Whip Show. And I do want to shout out my co-host, Devastating Daryl Pace. You can check us out on all podcast platforms. You know how we do. iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, everything. You know what it is, YouTube. But things about me, I'm a former pro wrestler myself. Did over 15 years in the business, you know what I'm saying? Worked all over the States. Worked in Canada as well. Did a lot of stuff. So I got a lot of connections and networked with a lot of the guys, man. Especially a lot of the guys from Impact Wrestling that we've had on the show. Johnny Bravo, Congo Kong. A lot of those guys started in the Michigan, Ontario area. So I met a lot of those guys through my travels and whatnot. And we've been blessed, man, to have some really great guests. Like you said, we've had Duke the Dumpster Drossy. We had Alpha Jr., formerly WWE's Manu, for our season premiere coming up in 2 weeks. We got Mr. Attitude Era, the man that said he is the reason that we watch Monday Night Raw. We got Vince Russo coming up, man. So it's been blessed, man. We got some great guys. We got John Cena Jr., John Cena Sr., Mr. Johnny Fabulous. He going to be coming up this season as well. We got some great surprises, man. So check us out, man.
That's what's up. Another thing, man, before we get into that, because you said you were wrestling, you did it for 15 years. One thing that when I was watching your podcast that struck me, and I was like, oh, definitely, man, I got to, you know, pick his brain on. You were at WrestleMania 3. How was that?
I was 7 years old at that time. WrestleMania 3, I'm going to tell you. It was here. I'm from the Detroit area. It was at a place called the Pontiac Silverdome, which isn't here anymore. But it was the show that made me fall in love with the business. Understand what I tell you. I'm from the hood, dog. So when we went to WrestleMania 3, we didn't have no front row seats. We was touching the top of the Silverdome, baby. I could have high-fived Jesus. You understand what I'm talking about? That's how hot we was. But it didn't matter. Because when I tell you the energy in that building, 93,170-plus fans in there. It was amazing. Even when I was a little dog, I kind of knew somehow, because all my family was big fellas, that I was going to be a bigger guy. But I also could tell by watching, like, Hogan, even though you're a bigger guy, you don't have to just go around, you know what I mean? You can have a personality. So I knew at 7, it was going to be something a little different with Big Whip Dog, even though I didn't know. Well, I was a little whip puppy back then. But I knew it was going to be a little something different, man. So the energy that I felt in that room, when I tell you 93,000 people were shaking, when Hogan slammed Andre, right there, that was the moment. I was like, this is it. Obviously, through our travels in life, you go through different iterations of things. But it always came back to wrestling. I played football. I played college football. But even in college football, I called myself the Whip Eliza. So when I sacked somebody, I took my finger like a W and wrote like Zorro on their chest. I mean, it was always extra for me, man.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Gator, you got anything?
Man, look, I'm just thinking about the fact that you was there, man, arena, man. Now, you know what? I'm from the hood, too, so I understand how it feels. Trust me, to be in a scenario like that. And that brings me to one of the things I wanted to ask you about. Now, I shared this with Dre a few weeks ago about the need I feel for, you know, black podcasters in that genre, in wrestling, man. How have you been received in a lot of these different from podcast circles when you say, you know, hey, I'm about relationships. Oh, I'm doing all this. Hey, I'm a wrestling podcaster.
That's true, man, and you're right. We definitely need to have more of that, because we've got a lot of black wrestler fans. You know, we actually always had them, but we didn't always have images on TV. Yeah, we had Junkyard Dog. Yeah, we had Coco Beware. We had Kamala, but we didn't have the characters that actually represented how we are. You know, we could be from the hood, but we are intelligent as well. You understand what I'm talking about? That's why. I know this is a little off topic, but that's why I like guys like the New Day. You got all college educated brothers that like to have fun as well. That's the representation that I like now, and that's the representation I want to bring with wrestling podcast as a black man. If you see my shirt, have you hugged the black man today?
Yeah.
That's real. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope.
But I want to say that to say, as far as how I was received, me personally, probably because I already knew some of the wrestlers, a lot of people understood it. People that know me for the 40 years of my life know that I was already into wrestling, so they weren't really as shocked as they might have been with somebody else, so I will admit that part. But they would have never thought it ran as deep as it did. But I will say, when I network, man, I've been blessed, man, because like I said, we've interviewed Tim Storm, from former NWA World Champion, all types of guys, you know. And even some of the we interviewed Jimmy Noonan, who was the security for WWE. And even those guys were shocked by the knowledge I had of the game and of the sport. You know what I mean? But with that being said, I do still think we need even more black wrestling podcasters to put a spin on it, man. Because just like how wrestling has changed, well, you can watch Raw now and see the Hurt Business. You know what I mean? Going against the New Day or whoever, and your main event is all black workers in the main event of Monday Night Raw, which we didn't see even 10 years ago. I think that's something important that we need to have a wrestling too, as far as podcasting. I think, truthfully, once we can get away from all this COVID craziness, we need to make some type of black wrestling podcasters convention that all of us from all the country go to together. And just like they do WrestleCade and all them other, you know, conventions, where it's something for us, man, and we can really show what we can do out here.
That's what's up.
Dude, that'd be awesome. So, Conrad, y'all ain't the only one who can do it.
You're right about that, man. Everybody's favorite match at WrestleMania 3, of course, was Hogan and Andre. Was that your favorite match, or was it Macho Man and Steamboat?
It's funny you said it. Actually, it was my favorite match was Hogan and Andre. But like I said, I actually had a tryout with WWE years ago. This is back when it was Florida Championship Wrestling was their affiliate. And the match they do show the guys, and I probably shouldn't be telling people this, but the match they show them for training and for study is Macho Man and Steamboat. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because as far as technical and moving the fans, it was a great match. It was probably one of the most technical matches back then compared to some of that old Ric Flair stuff. But as far as me personally, because I knew where I wanted to be and what I would be, my physical capabilities, it was Hogan and Andre did it for me.
That's what's up. That's really, really cool, man. That's really cool. You grew up watching wrestling, of course, but what was it that really just got you? What made you just fall in love with wrestling? Was it just Hogan, or was this something about the business?
It was the characters and the personalities, man. Because, you know, back then, this is not a knock against Daniel Bryan and all those younger guys. We got like Adam Cole, which are amazing workers. But some of the guys now look like if we saw them down the street or we was in a club, you know what I'm saying? Yes, they're athletic and all that. But the guys back then, imagine being a little 7-year-old little boy, 4 or 5 years old, and seeing these guys larger than life, these huge muscles. Now, if they was juicing, that's a whole other thing. We're going to talk about that. But these larger than life guys, but they was bringing personality, man. I'm a big person on personality, just like I see what you do. I see what Gator does. I love personality. I also act as well. And a lot of times when I first started acting, of course, it was, hey, he's 6'5", 290, play the thug, play the bodyguard. Even when I first started wrestling, it was, don't say nothing, Whip. Just stand there and look big and menacing. But I just like the idea of people showing their real personality and their strength, man. I just think it's a beautiful thing. And I that's what drew me in, seeing all these characters, man. Because, you know, back then we had some. We had characters, dog.
Oh, yeah. Man, the first time I ran into the one-man gang, you know, I must have been like probably maybe about 11 years old and just looking at this massive mountain of a man, just larger than life, for real. Those types of memories are amazing. Who's the one person that you met in wrestling that you were just in awe of? Because you're a big guy, man. So it's hard to be like, okay, I'm just going to be in awe. And like, if you were around an Adam Cole, you almost split him. You know, but what guy that were you around in wrestling that you looked at, you said, oh, that's a big dude?
Well, you know what though, man, real talk, and it was actually only like three, four years ago. Now, I've been in the locker room with a lot of the guys too, and it, you know, as I got older, it wasn't necessarily their size, it was just the way they carried themselves. And this could have been still me being my mark out moment, because how I felt about it before, but I actually got to meet Hogan. Oh. I got to meet Hogan in Columbus, Ohio, at the Arnold Sports Fest. And I was dressed up in Whippomania gear. At this time, I'm 35 years old. I'm like, I'm gonna talk to Hogan and I'm gonna give him my my DVD, my promo pack. He gonna take me under his wing. And whatever age he was then, I walked up to Hogan and I'd never be quiet. I stuck my hand out. It was like when the Mega Power shook hands. I was so nervous. He was like, calm down, big fella. What's going on? Then I brought it back. But still, the way he carried himself, if you would have saw him walk into the building, keep in mind, Arnold Schwarzenegger was right next to him. People didn't even notice Arnold anymore. They followed Hogan like this was God. You understand what I'm talking about? Even people that weren't Hogan fans, it's something about what he gave off in that moment. You dig what I'm saying? And that's what, like, even with some of the newer guys, I really want some of the newer wrestlers to give off that energy. That when you see them, you're like, dog got to be somebody. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You ever been to a club and you like, you see all these people in there, but somebody in there, you're like, who is this one? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the energy you should always give off when you're, that's that superstar personality, that bigger than life thing, man. So to answer your question, it still was Hogan.
That's what's up. That's really, really cool, man. And you got a personality, over top personality. How was it being in the ring? You know, how did that go?
Man, I had some great matches, man. I got to wrestle Sabu, former ECW superstar. Mm. He cracked me upside the head with the chair. Hey, man, the boy is stiff, I tell you that. I got to wrestle, one of my first names I got to wrestle was Marty Jannetty. Oh, you know, and keep in mind, watching the Rockers, seeing him get kicked through the barbershop window and getting to wrestle him was amazing. And me and Marty are still homeboys to this day. Very first name, though, I ever got to wrestle, there's a place here in Michigan called Sault Ste. Marie's Upper Peninsula. I got to wrestle King Kong Bundy.
Cool.
Keep in mind, the connection of me seeing him beat up Hogan at WrestleMania 2. And I'm in the locker room with him. And when Dog hit me with the avalanche, and see, I'm going to tell you how the match went. I didn't get much here. But I clotheslined him. He didn't go down. Clotheslined him again. Hit him that third time. And King Kong Bundy bumping for me. Man, I almost came out of character. And just went crazy. Like, I can't believe I'm bumping. You know, we go in. He hits me with the avalanche. And if you old school, you know what I'm talking about. When he went for me, he didn't count for three. He did the five count on me, man. So I've had some great times. And as I said, I had a trial with the WWE. I've done a lot of extra work with them. When they would go to the, you know, even with that, I'm from Detroit, and our big arena before they closed it was Joe Louis Arena. So keep in mind, that's where I was going to as a kid and get to be an extra and actually work at a venue that I grew up paying to go watch shows at. You see what I'm talking about? I got to work the United Center in Chicago. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I had a great career. Did I make it to the WWE? Did I get signed? No, but I'm going to tell you, I still say this to this day, I have a problem with him, Jake Hagar. Because when I went to my tryout, and I'm going to say it again, and he even blocked me on Twitter for saying this. My gimmick, well, before I turned into Whoopamania, I was Mr. What's My Name. So it was like a call and response thing, kind of like, you know, like a Run DMC would do. I would say, What's my name? The fans would say, Whip Dog. And now, we got Dr. Tom Pritchard there. We got Dusty Rhodes there. Rest in peace. Cena was there. You know what I'm saying? All these WWE heavies are there. And that's where I started getting signed to be an extra because they saw what I was doing. They liked what I was doing. But then next thing I know, after my tryout, they recorded everything going on down there. A month later, Jake Hagar, back then Jack Swagger, in the ring, and he says, he hits somebody with a body slam, throws him to the corner, clothesline, they fall down. He says, what's my name? Where the f*** did he get that from? I was so pissed. I'm literally tweeting him. I'm going crazy. I got all my fans tweeting him like, get him. I mean, I got the video. His response was, nobody knows who you are. And then he blocked me.
Wow. Look, cultural appropriation at its finest.
That part. Because they gave him something that wasn't organic.
Yeah.
It was over for him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It didn't get over for him. Mm. And I remember even, because Billy Kidman was back there, because back there he was one of the agents or whatever. And I'm like, because I'm asking my first, like, Billy Kidman, you remember me for the trial? He's like, yeah, I remember you. What's my name? Even Dusty Rhodes, I mean, Gold Dust was there too. He's like, hey, what's your name again, man? Because he's just messing with me because that's my catchphrase. So then I whispered to him, like, man, why y'all give it to Jack? And he just shrugged his shoulders, man. So that's the unfortunate part of the business. The business is cutthroat, man. A lot of cats don't know. It's way more cutthroat than people will ever know, man.
Yeah, I've heard that they do a lot of cannibalizing of those gimmicks back there, man.
A lot of the stuff that you see on TV now, the one good thing is that now a lot of those independent guys did get signed to WWE, so they're bringing some of the stuff that they did on independence. But back in the day, they would watch all these independent shows on YouTube, take some of the best stuff, and put it on TV. Carmella, when she was doing that moonwalk DDT, somebody was already doing that on any stuff. So a lot of that stuff was they recycling because who would know? Who you gonna believe in?
Right.
It's no different than a music game when you find out 5 years later they stole somebody's song. You know what I'm saying? And Future made it, even though you know he stole it.
You're right. It is life, man.
It is life.
You're right about that. Speaking of wrestling, like nowadays, though, what you think about the product now?
Woo!
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna tell you. I can watch SmackDown. I like the Tribal Chief, man. But I've always been a Roman fan. I know a lot of people didn't like Roman.
Yeah.
I really like that Tribal Chief stuff you're doing right now. But as far as Raw, dog, it's hard to watch 3 hours. There's moments I like. Like, I like some of the Hurt Business stuff. I like some of that. But a lot of the stuff, man, I might have to watch it the next day on Hulu or YouTube when the abbreviated format, because 3 hours is long, man. I understand that they got to have advertising and all that, but they need to think of something, man. I think the pandemic is hurting it as well. But man,
that's what's up, man.
It's hard.
Yeah, you are right. You are right. You say your favorite wrestler, man, was Hulk Hogan growing up. How do you feel about, you know, the whole Hogan situation that went down? And of course, a lot of people, you know, who were big Hogan fans, man, brother, and just was like, I don't really mess with him no more. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Man, because I'm a realist, right? Even before that ever played out, me and my homeboys, I remember just saying to him, if we ever found out Hogan was a racist, what would we do? You know what I'm saying? Because let's be transparent. Especially when we see what's going on with the Capitol and all this craziness. There's a lot of people we hang out with every single day that we think is cool, but we really don't know how they feel about it. You dig what I'm talking about? So I said that. So I remember when it happened, I was hurt, but not as hurt as people would think I'll be, or shocked. Because I learned years ago, when you see somebody on TV, when you're a fan, a mark, whatever you want to call yourselves for a person, a stan, whatever. Mm-hmm. You love the character, but you don't know the person. You're going to laugh, but I was a big Disco Inferno fan. You know, I just thought it was funny as a character. But I did a show with Disco, and I'm thinking he's going to be this over-the-top bubbly personality in the back. I'm like, so Disco, you know, give me some tips on how to get further in the business. He was like, well, if you work for them, you'll make it. And he just walked away. I'm not thinking that this is from Disco Inferno. But then I met Dan Severn, and Dan Severn, you know, former, you know, UFC. Dan Severn took us to his house to train after meeting him in an independent show.
Wow.
He said, I'm saying, so you never really know. So to answer your question about Hogan, I was hurt but not really shocked, man. I mean, I don't call him my white daddy anymore, my favorite white guy in the world anymore, but you know what I'm saying? I will say, you know, I still am I'm a Hulkamaniac, but I'm a Hulkamaniac. I'm not a Terry Bollea maniac. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. We're going to move on here on Talk Pro Wrestling, you guys. I know the Detroit Lions is not in the playoffs, but who you think going to win the Super Bowl right now, man?
You say what?
Who you think? Who you got winning the Super Bowl?
Man, I don't even want to call it. Not the Steelers lost, too.
Oh, man. you was a big Steelers guy?
Yeah, support? Man, so now all I'm going to do is just get some Super Bowl squares and see if I can make some money off that, dog. No matter who, I ain't got to pick nobody. I just got to get my numbers to land.
Hey, that's what's up.
Right. You know, I'm a Saints fan, so you got to put them up in the air. You know, Saints Browns might actually be a pretty good Super Bowl. I can't see them getting past Kansas City, the Browns, but hey.
That's what's going on, man. I'm a Ravens fan. You know, some people, you know, born the Ravens, though, but they made it past the Tennessee Titans this week, and the Saints doing good. But,
man. Before I cut you off, funny story about the Ravens. Well, he's retired now, but you know, he used to live around the corner, grew up around the corner from me, was Bart Scott.
Oh, wow.
Bart Scott grew up right around the corner from me in Detroit, Michigan, man.
Oh, wow.
Former Ravens great, yeah?
That's real cool. That's real, real cool, you guys, man. Hey, Whip Dog, man, I appreciate you joining me here on the podcast. Of course, you guys got my guest, my co-host this week, Gator Live. We're going to take a quick short break, you guys. And on the other side, we're going to talk some Raw, some SmackDown, some more wrestling, you guys, here on the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. Yeah.
You have a lot to say. Maybe you've thought, I should start a podcast. Meet Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast ever. It's a powerful mobile app and web tool that lets you record a podcast anywhere and distribute it everywhere. It's great whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out. And it's 100% free. You can record your show straight into Anchor on your phone, iPad, or the web, using any mic you want. Record alone or with friends or co-hosts anywhere in the world. You can add background music and transitions, and your listeners can send you voice messages that you can incorporate right into your next episode. If you want to produce your show using another app, you can upload your own audio directly from web or mobile and still take advantage of Anchor's totally free podcast hosting. Once your podcast is ready to publish, Anchor can automatically distribute it to every major podcast platform. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, so your listeners can hear your show wherever they want. And on the web, you can see detailed analytics about how people are listening. Plus, you'll get a great-looking profile page where anyone can listen to your podcast or subscribe to it. And if you want to ask your audience to support your work, Anchor makes it easy to collect monthly payments from the people who love your podcast and want to see it grow. You really don't need a recording studio, expensive equipment, or a bunch of technical knowledge to deal with a podcast feed. Just get started and join the diverse community of podcasters already on Anchor. We can't wait to hear your podcast.
Yo, you guys, welcome back here to the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. Appreciate you guys sticking with me throughout the commercial break. My guest this week, you guys, my man, Whip Dog Deshaun, all the way from the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast, you guys, a.k.a. The Whip Show. And my co-host this week, my guy, Gator Live, man. I appreciate you joining me this week on the podcast. But you guys, of course, we're back here. We're going to talk some wrestling, man, some trendy things that's been taking off in wrestling right now. First and foremost, I want to ask my man Whip Dog, and my man Gator told me, you know, his opinion on it. But what's your thoughts on AEW?
I like it. I like what they're doing over there. It's funny you said that. I put a post on my page the other day. Do I think AEW has created stars? And when I mean stars, I mean television stars. I like the work in the ring, but it still, to me, feels like a high-budget independent show. If you ever seen an independent wrestler, you'll know what I'm talking about. The matches are good, but it still seems like, yeah, you know what I mean? And I don't know if that's because we've been conditioned to know WWE or whatever, but it still gives me that feel. You know, even when TNA was really hot, TNA still came across as what? A high-budget independent. Mm-hmm. I do like what AEW is doing right now. Like the whole, I like bringing Sting in for nostalgia. Don't know if I should be used to seeing Sting every week, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about that. But I'm going to tell you who my guy is, MJF, dog. MJF is going to be it. That man is going to be it. Yeah. I mean, right now in the ring, I think out of a 10, he's probably about a 7 or 8. He can do a little bit, you know, I want a little bit more from him in the ring. But the character that MJF, 5 years from now, that boy ain't going to be it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you right.
MJF is everything that EC3 was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
You know.
Yeah. Far as AEW being, you know, so, you know, coming off as a highly, you know, independent show. I think they did that on purpose. For the reason how, because, you know, of course, yes, we may have been conditioned to WWE, but everybody is so like, you know, WWE wrestling, WWE wrestling, and everybody, you know, who don't watch WWE, they even watch some independent. And, you know, it come across non-scripted, or the wrestling is, you know, this or that.
Good. I do feel you, but I'm going to tell you where it becomes a problem. It be like, and the biggest example was about 2 weeks ago, when AEW came on after the NBA, mm-hmm. and they saw Chris Jericho. And when people even stayed to watch the product, because Cornette talked about this, when they watched the product, people only responded as, even after you take away them calling Jericho fat, whatever, yeah. they looked at it as, now these are not just casual fans, looked at it as a bootleg wrestler promotion. They mm-hmm. saw my boy Ricky Starks, and I like Ricky Starks, but they said, he looked like a fake rock. You see what I'm saying? Mm. So I do see what you said about they might have purposely did that. But how do we ever get wrestling back into getting fours and fives and sixes in the Nielsen ratings if the casual fan looks at it and it's not like, damn, look at that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I saw that. Right. I saw that. I saw them tweets where they were saying about Chris Jericho, how fat he is, and this looking like a bootleg, you know, AEW.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get what you said, but I you know, wrestling is going to always be okay. You know, the 1 or 2 million is okay. But if you remember, like I said, the Attitude Era, them boys, now I understand we got DVR and all that stuff, but you can't tell me we can't go back to having 5 to 10 million people watching wrestling if you get the right personality.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. I think that's the biggest problem with AEW right now is that, you know, when WCW was kicking around there and, you know, they were able to give WWE a challenge because, you know, when WWE cast off people, it wasn't just, you know, people that they had no more use for and they, you know, didn't really have any limelight, you know, or being used improperly in the company. It was people, it was a money play. So you had legitimate stars coming over to WCW. In AEW, those people that WWE cast off, they come in and WWE's not casting off people who draw money.
Right.
They're not going to do that. So, you know, as much as we like, as marks, we like the revival. As much as marks as we like, you know, what some of the other guys were doing. I mean, you know, Jake Hager, for example, you know what I'm saying? That nobody was really marking out when they saw him pop up in AEW. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, look at
Zack Ryder. When he went over there as Matt Cardona,
Zach Ryder got
a 5-week contract. And now, you know what I mean? 5-week contract. And the fans have been saying Zack Ryder is it for so long. And he had his chance.
It just didn't work, man. And that's why I say, I think the marks, like us, we see these people, we see the potential, we see all these things, and we're like, the WWE needs to use them better. They need to do da 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 da. But a lot of times there's reasons why they're not elevated to certain, you know, standards. And I love Zack Ryder. I love that character. But man, if you really look at it from an analytical perspective, when he had his run, the crowd was behind him. But I mean, he was the most generic voice. Yeah. The most, you know, I mean, his personality was, it was just kind of like he had something. He had a gimmick, but the personality wasn't there.
Look at another one right now. We sat there and Rusev Day. We waited forever. But when you, just like with Zack Ryder, when you stripped away the Zack Ryder gimmick and made him create something else, it failed. Even look at, come on, that Miro stuff Rusev is doing right now, come on, man.
No.
Now you take Jericho, who was able to give you 15 different modifications of Jericho. And damn near every one of them hit. You understand what I'm talking about? From Monday Night Jericho 20 years ago to Y2J to The List to when he, whatever he called himself in Japan, to what he's doing now. You see what I'm saying? So they always want to blame the writers for everything. Some of that, they got to blame the performer too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I know I made this reference earlier, but I'm making it again. It's like, you know, you take a song, and the song, a new artist's first song, is so big, the song becomes bigger than the actual artist.
Yeah.
So they can't come back behind that. And I think that's happens with some of these wrestlers and their gimmick. The gimmick is bigger than the actual performer. You understand what I mean?
Make good sense. Make real, real good sense. One thing that took place last week on SmackDown, you guys, because my man Whip Dog said, and everybody, man, is a big fan of SmackDown right now. Raw just ain't doing it too much. But thing that went on SmackDown, Adam Pearce has been, you know, his name has been circling around on the internet and all the things he accomplished in the wrestling world. I didn't really know too much of Adam Pearce. Here, he's a former NWA World Champion, been in the business for a long time. What's your guys' thoughts on this storyline that's taking place that Adam Pearce is supposed to be taking on Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble?
Well, to be honest, I actually don't think it'll end up being at the Royal Rumble. I don't think there'll be a switch even before they get there. I think Adam Pearce will get his match at some point because WWE does that. They'll bring in an old-school guy just to give him a little bit. You know, he had a long career. They brought him in to be an agent and everything. He was a coach down to NXT before they you know, brought him up to Raw. You know, it's kind of the pat on your back because you had a long career. Let's take care of you. I mean, it's no different than what they did with the King back in the day. You know what I'm saying? King was one of the biggest stars ever. He got – they gave him a couple views. They pat him on the back. But really, that's not what they wanted the King there for. So I think the Adam Pearce thing, I know a lot of fans are upset about it. Some fans are like, oh, well, he was a former NWA champ. Listen, Adam Pearce ain't going to do nothing as far as – he's not about to be no five-year run. His job is to be an agent and to put them boys over. That's what he's going to do. He's going to come in there, even if they had a match, he's going to act like he's scared of Roman, then come out from underneath and do some stuff, and they're going to take him out. But me personally, I didn't think he's going to have a match at Royal Rumble. Nope. Yeah, I think he actually was going to switch back to Shinsuke. Cause it was a big response for Shinsuke.
Yeah. It was, man. It was a completely generic. It just came out of nowhere for Shinsuke too. You know, I mean, when you book a match right, just goes to show when you book a match right, you know, you could make a star. You know, an example of Kofi, a couple years ago when he won the title. You know, but to go to that question though, as much as I would love to see Scrap Daddy in the ring. as long as he leave that generic robe, that bootleg Ric Flair robe behind, you're all right. but yeah, man, I can't see it. I can't see them having that match. There has to be some sort of pull. I would not be surprised if it's Kevin Owens, if you know Kevin Owens steps in, you know, or if Adam Pearce wins the match in some sort of, you know, trickery on the part of Kevin Owens.
Right.
You know, if they have that match.
Now, see, I'm glad you touched on that. That's one problem, and maybe it's because I'm a worker that I have a problem with the fans, man. And we need them. I get it. But see, the fans, and don't get it twisted. I understand WWE and all promotions don't get a payoff we always want. But y'all got to chill.
Yeah.
Let the story play out. Man, I'll be sitting here looking at the comments, and these people talk like they have an idea what they're talking about. They really have no idea at all.
Right.
You know, we interviewed Hernandez, Supermax, and he was saying, he had to tell people, like, don't add me to these Facebook wrestling groups. He said, because I'm not going to sit and argue back and forth with you with something y'all don't even know about. Now, I know, like Kevin Owens said, he likes to be in the groups. He'll make up a burner account to see what people are talking about. But I'm telling you, man, when you understand if it's real, it's not even worth arguing with these people because they have no idea. They have no foresight on the future. They just see what happened right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not realizing the true wrestling story is a build.
Yep.
It's not a 1 week, you know what I'm saying? You don't come in 1 week. Excuse what I'm saying, but you feel me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Man. So I just had to jump in there. That's the only problem I have with the fans. They like, oh my God, Adam Pearce. No, you don't even know what's gonna happen next week. Let it play out. Let's go.
Right. Oh, because I saw it. They erupted. They was like, how are you going to waste the Roman Reigns character on Adam Pearce? I'm like, oh my God, bro. Just
and I see this going a lot further. You know, I'm always a guy, been a wrestling fan for over 20 years, man. I stick through it. I know it's going to be a build up to it. And I don't think they did what they did with Shinsuke Nakamura for no reason. I think that was the most, you know, beautiful thing about that whole Gauntlet match, that, you know, the fact that they put Shinsuke Nakamura in that spot and to have him look so dominant that he didn't do or have looked in so long time. And some people may was, you know, been like, why couldn't they put Cesaro in that spot? You feel me? Even though Nakamura, you know, is, you know, a former Royal Rumble winner. So
that's another thing you just touched on. They always say, no matter who we give them, and this is WWE, AEW, whatever.
Yeah.
They all people always say, well, what about such and such?
Yeah.
Listen, there's only so many top spots
on the show. Right.
You know what I mean? It's cyclical. You have to cycle people in and out. Now, granted, we don't always get the people that probably should get their chance. But, man, we can't. If the fans, as soon as somebody loses, what do they say? They buried him. You know, it's still a wrestling exhibition or a sport. You got to win and lose sometimes. They want the people to never lose. Well, if don't nobody lose, what's going to happen then? Nobody ever loses. Come on, man.
Exactly, man. You know, I wonder what it would have been like back in the day if we would have had the internet fans. You know what I'm saying? You would have had 100 million people asking for Brutus the Barber Beefcake to get him. Why he never got? They buried him. Why he not the champion?
You know what I mean?
Yo, man.
I'm going to be West B on top.
And I've actually seen it. And trust me, I'm not going to say anything bad about the man because we about to interview him. So I keep my bad thoughts to after. No. But, you know, one thing he did say that I do agree with. He says he thinks now the creative changes the trajectory of creative way too much week to week because of what the fans say on the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because they got mad one week, now you're gonna pull all the way back. Well, nah, you feed them a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Till they fool. Now if they're not fooled after that, we get it. But they change the trajectory way too often, man. Way too quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, wrestling is like a novel, man. A story is like a novel. If you look at the way that you spoke about the Mega Powers earlier, if you look at that whole run, man, it was almost like a storybook, you know, and the narrative, and you got to watch it play out, and they played it out slowly. See, now we want a lot of these fans, they want their wrestling like choose your own adventure book. And the creative, they do the same thing. You know, you hear all the time now about them, they ripping up the script right before Raw, and they try to write stuff to try to appease the fans. And I guess because there's so many of them that are so, like, fickle about different things, that they won't let that story play out without getting on the internet and booing it to death. You know,
and then, look what they do. One, they love somebody to death. Then when they get who they love, they turn on them.
Yes.
They turned on Seth Rollins.
Yeah. They love them. Did they?
You know what I'm saying? They love that. You know, they were all these people. Then when they get him, we don't like him anymore. He's dirty. Clean up the next one. And you're just you're actually, to be honest, you're messing up guys' careers and you're messing up their legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that, man. Yeah. Because you know, I know AEW is trying not to do this, but I know WWE said this, that because of how big Rock and Austin got, they never truly want anybody to get that big as an individual anymore. Mm. The reason being is that now Rock and Austin can do whatever they want to when they want to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas now WWE has to set up, even in their contracts, guys like Roman, they have to ask, can they do anything? Yeah. They, you know, they don't want a star to be bigger than the WWE anymore. Hmm. Which, you know, from the outside, it does sound crazy, but maybe from a business standpoint, I guess I could get it, because they don't want the idea of having a big star and he could just leave. Because, you know, even if we look back at The Rock, you know, The Rock really didn't have that long of a run before he first started leaving out. You know what I mean?
Not right.
Sporadically, but I think they never want to have it again. They want to be able to have a guy for 15, 20 years.
Yeah, man. But you know what? This might be a little bit of an interruption to the flow of the show, but I got to ask you, that we on that particular topic, what do you think about this whole thing about unionization? You know, because I know a lot of that coming up recently, you know, with the scenario with Zelina and a lot of, I mean, it's been in the air for a long time. Do you think now might be the time for them to actually get that done? Or is it even really a good thing in the business, do you think?
Do you guys listen to a lot of podcasts?
Yeah.
Conrad and Conrad and Bischoff, 83 weeks. They talked about this. And that was a good, that's actually a good question. And to be honest, I don't know. I can see the good and bad on both sides. Unionization easily sounds like it's great. Now we got health benefits and everything. It's perfect. Because truly we are independent contractors, which, you know, and they say that, but even though wrestlers really are employees because they can't just go work for whoever they want to.
Right.
The reason why I say I see both sides, if they unionize, now, dog, you'll get a flat rate. They're not going to give you all the incentives. The wrestling contracts, especially back in the day, they obviously they don't have as much back and forth with wrestlers now going to different promotions. Right. But back then, they had a lot of incentives they'd get them guys. Your base pay might only be $450,000, but they was getting $2 off of every T-shirt they sold. They got a piece of the house. You know what I'm talking about? Every time they did a signing, they were getting between $3,500 and $5,000. So think about that. You sold a million T-shirts, and you get $2 a piece off each one of those. You know what I mean? They're going to take away a lot of those incentives if they get unionization.
Yeah.
But on the other side, unionization to keep them from doing the crazy stuff they do to the WWE guys and making them work all over the place and not taking care of them when they get hurt for real. You know, I don't know if they'll ever get it because, like I said earlier, wrestling is so cutthroat. Just like Jesse, you know what I'm saying? Just like Hogan told Jesse 100 years ago, somebody's going to snitch and try to block it, man. I mean, let's be truthful. Even in people that work in the plant to this day, Christ the Ford, they got the UAWs and all the unions, but it's always one cat to work with you that's on the side of the management, not on the side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So I see both sides. I do think they should definitely try something like that. But to that question, I thought when originally AEW started, they were saying they were going to do something similar to that or some type of business.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
And then they never said nothing else.
Yeah, they did. That was supposed to be the big draw about AEW. Right. You know, when they were especially when they were pitching that thing, and they did pitch it to a lot of these YouTube hosts across seas and all that, because they definitely be on them all the time. And I think they really pushed that as an incentive, and this is gonna be a company for the workers. This is gonna be that. But like you say, you ain't really heard much about that.
Because even look at Moxley, what they said was originally that, you know, because they jumped on WWE when they took everybody's, Twitch or whatever they took from them.
Yeah.
And they're like, we would never do nothing like that. Sounds good. But then Tony Khan also won't let Moxley defend his New Japan title on TV in America. He got to go. So explain that to me.
Right.
So you're still blocking people from making all the money. This man has been a New Japan Intercontinental Champion for 6 months without being getting defended because you don't want nobody else. You don't want your guys on anybody else's TV.
Right.
So don't act like you're so pure. And you know what I mean?
Exactly.
When you're doing it, it's in a different way.
Right.
Because no matter what business it is, the owner, I don't care what they say, you know what I'm talking about. They're going to take care of themselves before they take care of anybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're right about that, man. And it'll be one thing, you know, WWE would do it, you know, especially allow their talent to compete in other organizations. But, of course, they won't. Well, how would you feel if WWE did do that?
It would be a dream. It would be a dream. We wanted it years ago.
Right.
When it was the real WWE versus WCW, not that invasion stuff.
Yeah.
We act like that don't even happen.
Right.
But the problem, again, I'm going to tell you, the one thing fans don't realize, wrestlers are the most emotional men that you will ever find. I'm trying to tell you.
Damn.
I say that to say, you understand, trying to get in, and then you take the guys on top. It sounds good, but the matches will never have a finish. They will never have a finish. The WWE, I don't care who the WWE champion is, James Ellsworth. They're not going to let him lose.
Exactly.
Kenny Omega. Because they don't want, you know, back in the day, Ric Flair went against Bob Backlund. I know I'm taking way back. That was even before me. But Ric Flair was NWA champ. Bob Backlund was a WWF champion. They matched for 20 minutes. And it was 20-minute Broadway. Nobody won. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, Bob Backlund actually said when he got there, he had the little, he had that little, you know what I'm saying, that little poker on him. He had that shank. Because he thought NWA guys was going to try something to get the belt off of him to make NWA look better. Because even back then, WWF was always that promotion. You know what I'm saying? So it does sound good. But, even right now, AEW is teaming with Impact Wrestling. You know what I'm saying? They trying. You know what I'm saying? It's good to see the Good Brothers on AEW, but it ain't, to me, first of all, Impact ain't even on a level to even really be competing with AEW. I get the logic of it, but even with that, they're not going to have Rich Swann straight up lose Kenny Omega.
You know what I'm saying? Your champion is Rich Swann.
Think about Impact. So then if you get him to lose to Rich Swann, Kenny Omega, then his belt is water. It's nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's what I was going to say. Your champion is Rich Swann. That is not a competition. They are not going to put Kenny Omega out.
You know. One of the top five workers in the world.
I was about to say, one of the top five in the world.
But Rich Swann is Rich Swann. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly, man. Exactly. It's crazy. That whole scenario. And you're right. There would never be a finish to some of those matches. Could you imagine Vince McMahon, I don't care if it's Kofi Kingston. I don't care if it's, you know, one of the other guys. It could be, you know, it could be The Miz. You're going to send The Miz over somewhere. You expect The Miz to come out on top in every match that he have. You expect Otis to come out on top on every match he have against somebody in a different promotion.
Even if it runs 100 times, put The Miz against Moxley. Now, ain't no way they're going to do it.
No.
The way Vince is, he would be leaning on Tony Khan the whole time and trying to make him feel like he should. Hey, man, look, if my WWE guys win, then next time y'all come back and win, and then the WWE don't never give them their win back.
Right. That's so crazy. Hulk Hogan swerve on them. Nah, right. I give you win back. You get your win back at SummerSlam, brother. And then...
next thing you know, they'll kill the cops.
Right. Man. Like, wait a minute.
But unfortunately, the only way it'll ever happen is kind of like when... Pillman died. This is many years ago. They had a memorial, and they put different guys, different promotions on the same show. Mm-hmm. But it was an independent fundraiser. That's the only way it happened, untelevised. Somebody had to sneak a camera in, record it, and put it on YouTube. That's about it.
Right.
Unless one of the others bought each other. Now, if they bought, because I don't know if you guys know, even before AEW Impact, WWE, when they first brought Matt Hardy in, the second time with the broken gimmick, they actually had a deal with Impact.
Yeah.
They still wasn't using them, you know what I'm saying? they just wanted the tape library.
Right. They just literally wanted the tape library so they could, if they wanted to produce a special down the line, they could.
Yeah, they didn't care about none of them guys over there, man.
That's exactly what they did. You guys, before we wrap it up, NXT is bringing the women's tag team Dusty Cup tournament. How you guys feel about that? You know, they had some of the first round matches this past week on NXT. We've seen MSK debut. We've seen Undisputed Era win their match. And we've seen Grizzled Young Veterans win. What you guys think about them introducing? Yeah, I really do. What you guys think them putting together a women's Dusty Cup tournament?
I like it. NXT, to me, right now, has the best women's wrestlers, at least in the country. I don't watch a whole lot of Japan, so I'm not going to compare. But as far as here, they have the best women's wrestlers in the country, flat out. Yeah. I mean, AEW got what they, you know, they got what they got. WWE got, but no. NXT is it. That is it. New girls are good. And I kind of hate how when they get up there, they kind of clean them off a little bit. You know what I mean? They don't let them be. Then when they get up, when they get moved up, but for years, NXT has had the best. You talking about old matches with The Boss, Sasha, and Becky was some of the best stuff. That was better than all the guys' matches.
Heck yeah.
So, I'm a big fan of the Dusty Cup. Give more women more chances, man. I like the women are workers now, for real. It ain't none of that bra and panty stuff. They workers, for real.
Yeah, look, I agree with you, man. They do have the best rest. And you know, you hear a lot of reports about what they're doing in Japan. And I've heard a lot of people who work and said, no, they're the best in the world. in NXT. I mean, when you look at that roster, and you look at a Rhea Ripley, you look at a Toni Storm, you look at Io Shirai, you look at, you know, everybody that they have down there, man, has something, you know. I mean, I have mixed feelings about Athena, Ember Moon going back down there, but like, man, they top to bottom, that roster is amazing, and it provides a good feeder for the main roster, because I mean, if you look at the main roster, you Shayna Baszler's, you know, you got Sasha Banks up there, you got Bayley, you know, and
Bianca Belair.
Bianca, oh yeah. So yeah, she's amazing, man. I think she's the next women's champ. So I mean, I can see them doing it at WrestleMania. The only person in NXT that I don't get me wrong, I think the character's nice. Shotzi Blackheart, for some reason, I don't know what it is about her that's just like, oh, I don't see the big appeal, but I get it. You know?
Let me ask you guys a question from behind that, if y'all don't mind. Yeah. So, I'm sorry. I've been trying to keep myself from doing this, but I get interviewed and I start asking questions.
Oh, man.
But with that being said, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, WWE did Evolution. Whatever it was called. The all-women's pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of that. But I like when they did the cruiserweight, the NXT all women's.
Yeah.
Do you think, and I ain't talking about what we ain't talking about no glow style, but a true women's promotion can get national exposure and be heavy, like serious fans are watching. I mean, we talk about the WNBA been going on for 20 years and they don't really have,
it's still
have
a fan base.
But do you think a strong women's promotion can sell in this era?
You need to bring in, you off the top,
just about to say something.
You would have to bring in the horsewomen. You'd have to literally bring in a Banks or a Becky Lynch or, you know, one of those people like that. You would have to start your promotion around that. And then you'd have to have some strong, like real athletes come in, like a Bianca Belair. Like, you know, you would have to literally build a roster that's made for TV, you know, and then push it there. You would probably have to come in with some people who are, you know, I don't want to say Shayna Baszler is kind of gender neutral, but you're going to have, you know, those types of, you know, women that are in there. You got to have some monsters. You got to have a Mercedes Martinez, a real scrappy mm-hmm. person. You got to have, what's the name? The one that's feuding with,
Raquel Mendez.
Yeah. Well, is it Mendez or, yes, bruh, that she's a monster, man. Yeah. But you gotta have that. You really have to structure that way. I think it could be successful, but again, like you said, WNBA probably not as successful as, you know, any of the men's leagues. But I mean, I think you could draw some money with it. At least right mm-hmm. now with the pandemic, you could.
Yeah, you're right about that. I don't think they, like I said, like Gator said, they would have to give somebody real big, a really yeah. big. You know, name, it's 2021. We love women's wrestling, and sometimes the women's wrestling is better than the men's. So, you know, I'm all down for it. I think they can do it. It's just, you know, pulling it off, you know, creating stars, having somebody, you know, having somebody to be the reason that, you know, the viewer is drawn in to see you. So, you know, it just can't just, you know, be anybody, I don't think. But, yeah.
I actually do think so also. Because I think the one advantage they have over the WNBA, how can I say this and be politically correct? Because I don't want the show to get thrown off the air.
I'll say it. The product could be better.
Even the fellas still like the way some of the women wrestlers look. They don't look like they used to. You know what I mean? So you take that. So the men aren't alienated like, oh, my God, I don't want to watch this. But you got also have women that – girls could grow up looking up to.
Yeah.
Man, easy on your show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And,
you know, she grew up watching who does she like? Bailey or whatever, right?
Bailey fan.
You got, you know, so it's something that the little girls grow up to want to be, but it's nothing that the guys won't alienate like, dog. All right, because, you know, we go to a WNBA game.
You know, I mean, but it's just being real. I mean, and that's nothing bad to say, you know, that, you know, men would be attracted, because guess what? you know, men, women are attracted to a lot of male wrestlers. You know, mm-hmm. they always say, do you have the look? Do you have, you know, the size, the chisel body, the whatever? You know, I mean, appearance is everything. You know, if you got a wrestler that looks like crap, then right. 9 times out of 10, he ain't gonna make TV. Mm. You know, same thing with the women. If you got a woman that may not be so attractive, I don't know. You know,
you're right about
like
that.
I say, right now, we got guys wearing Sasha Banks, the Boss T-shirts.
Yeah,
we don't have guys putting on a WNBA jersey, but we got guys wearing
right.
T-shirt. So, you know, I definitely think it's a possibility myself, man.
Yeah, definitely. Before you guys roll, man, who you guys got winning the 2021 Royal Rumble match, men's and women?
Ooh. I see Bianca winning the women's. I see Bianca Belair taking the women's match. The men, I would have said that they would have brought The Rock in to win that one. You know, so they could have that match that they've been kind of promoting with, kind of slick side promoting with him and Roman Reigns. But it's something about the way that they pushed Shinsuke last week that makes me wonder if that's not their backup plan. If we can't get Rock, then maybe we put Shinsuke in that match. I mean, Shinsuke versus Roman, I'm a little skeptical of what that looks like. You know, I would rather them do Drew again, Drew versus Roman at WrestleMania. But, hey, you know.
Whipped up.
I'm going to go with, I agree with that Bianca Belair. I think they are big fans of hers. I think it's her time. Be honest, man, like I said, I would have liked Rock versus Roman too. But from my understanding, in which I would want to see too, I want to see that with real fans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Question mark of, if they can have fans, or is it only like a quarter of the arena? And with that being said, man, I'll be honest. I can see what you said with Shinsuke, but for me, it's too early to call, dog, because with this pandemic, like normally you can kind of see where they're going, but you can't really get a real judgment of who the fans
right.
want to get to that point because it's piped in sounds. In
the right.
So it's, I mean, I think honestly, they might just randomly pick something.
Yeah.
At the 11th hour, man.
Yeah. I have to say Drew would probably be the best option. Do you take the belt off of him? Do you make a champion versus champion WrestleMania? You know, it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah. I'm going to say my pick. My pick is, I said this on the podcast with me and I Gator. The men's Royal Rumble, I got Big E winning it. And the women's Royal Rumble, I got Sonya Deville winning it. Some people say with the Brock, not Brock, I'm sorry, Goldberg. Goldberg and Drew McIntyre match. Goldberg wins. Big E wins the Rumble. Big E versus Goldberg at WrestleMania. You know, a little bit of something. I don't know. But I got Big E winning it. Big E winning it. It seemed like he's the hottest thing right now on SmackDown solo. I mean, Dan, you said he never won a battle royal. That could be a hint of it that he may win.
Yeah.
So it's like what Doug said, it is too early from what they shown me. Mm-hmm. I would definitely like for Big E and definitely Sonya Deville to do something. Bianca Belair is my girl. I love her, man. She's gonna do major, major things in WWE. But Sonya Deville, I think it'd be.
So we gonna get out of here, and y'all not gonna talk about Goldberg being back, man.
So I was trying not to.
I know, right? Like I was trying not to. I mean, he just came in and he just said a bunch of everything on Monday night, and just didn't let Drew get no words in. Like,
right? So, I mean, because he was. All these falsities. He was like, "You're disrespecting the legend." When has Drew McIntyre ever disrespected anybody?
That was so stupid. You got talking to a face. The face don't ever say. He should have been talking to Randy or something. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right. Exactly. That makes the most sense. You know. Speaking of, I do not like the kilt.
You know,
if they would have started that gimmick before. So Drew was never a cartoon character. And I feel like once they gave him the sword and the thing, that could have been for pay-per-views. Like, I could have seen him doing, you know, like special attire for a pay-per-view or whatever, you know. But him doing it every week? No. It just, I feel like it waters it down a little bit. Because you're starting to put in these little things that are more gimmicky to the character. You know, I don't like it. We know when they lose favor with him because they're gonna take his sword and everything away.
he's sick anyway, so he might not even get to make it, dog.
So yeah, that's a big thing. Yeah. So he is sick. He got COVID. You know, is he gonna be able to make the Rumble? Because I mean, they'll get cleared after about a week or so. But I mean, if he's still showing symptoms, you know, next week.
I wonder, did that scare Roman though? With you know what he got going on.
You know what? It might have.
Because now Roman probably thinking, I only came back because y'all said we could keep COVID out of
right
or wherever they, you know, the Thunderdome. And if it's back in here, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just trying to scare Roman, man.
Yeah. Interesting.
The people are the best work he's ever done. Yeah. So.
Yeah. What up, man? Appreciate you joining me on the podcast, man, this week. Also, man, my man Gator Live, before you go, your podcast, man, tell everybody where they can catch a podcast at again, where they can follow you at, and if you have any shout-outs, man, anything you want to say?
Well, first of all, thank you, fellas, for having me on the show. The 11:30 podcast has been a dope time. We might have to do a part two, dog. We done went for about an hour or something,
Most definitely.
Y'all make sure y'all check them out, but make sure you check me out. The Wrestling Heroes of Insiders Podcast, a.k.a. The Whip Show. We have WWE Legends, WCW. We have current stars, NWA. You can hit us on any podcast platform, Apple, Google Play, Spotify. You can just yell out, hey, I want to do a podcast. And it just come on. I'm like that. I'm everywhere. You know what I'm saying? YouTube, follow us on Facebook. Just hit like. The Wrestling Rolls Inside the Podcast, Instagram at The Whip Show. The big season 3 premiere, we bring in the quote-unquote creator of the Attitude Era, one of the most controversial men in the world, and Jim Cornette's biggest opponent.
All right.
Vince Russo, Friday, January 29th. Make sure you check that out. It's going to be an amazing show, and I'm hitting Vince Russo with all the punches, man. He's not gonna bro me to death. I'm hitting him with all the punches, man. We got John Cena Senior coming up, aka Johnny Fabulous. We got Vinnie Barry. He actually wrote a book about Lance Von Erich, who, if people know, they're old school. Lance Von Erich was considered the fake Von Erich. We're gonna talk to him about what made him write that book. We got a great season coming up, man. Check us out, the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast, aka The Whip.
That's what's up, my guy. That's what's up. Gator Live, man. I appreciate you joining me, man, back here on the podcast, man. Anything you want to say? Any shout-outs, man?
Hey, man, look, it's a pleasure to be here, man, and it's a pleasure to be in the presence of greatness over here with Whip doing this thing, man. And hey, look, make sure y'all tune into that podcast. Make sure y'all tune into this podcast, the 11:30 podcast, because it's lit, too. And then also, you got the Down 5 podcast, most of this podcast this side of North Kakalaki. We are going to be on a little late this weekend, but normally we go on Color People Time at, like, you know, what it is, like 11-ish, you know, on Saturdays. And then Dope Discussion with Erica, I'm the co-host with the most is on there. That's going to be on Sundays at 7:30 p.m. So make sure y'all, you know, tune into those particular shows live on YouTube or Facebook. Or if you don't feel like listening to it live, which y'all would love to do because I'm a handsome guy. But if you just want to listen to my sexy voice, then you can just look it up on Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, we're everywhere.
That's what's up, man.
One more thing before you go. And I'm serious, fellas. End of the year, I'm talking about it. Black Wrestling Podcast Convention.
Yes.
Together, fellas.
Yes. Yeah. We got to get that. We really got to get that.
Yeah, I'd love to be in the building for that, man. That was...
Most definitely. Deshaun Whip Dog Whipple, man. Appreciate you joining me this week on the podcast. You guys, man, go check it out. Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, you guys. New season coming up. Check it out. My man Gator, Down 5 Podcast, Dope Discussions with Erica, you guys, each and every week. You guys, this was a pleasure. It was an honor. I thank you guys for your time and your energy to chop it up here on the podcast, man, to chop some wrestling, man. Wish you guys the best. 2020 be great this year. And thank you guys, man, for being on the podcast this week.
For sure, man. Thank you.
Yo, appreciate you guys, man, joining me this week on the 1130 Podcast Talk Pro Wrestling. Man, it was an honor for you guys to, you know, spend some time with me chatting some pro wrestling, man, this week on the podcast. It was really, really cool getting my guy, Deshaun Whip Dog, you know, Whipple on the podcast. We was trying to do this thing some, you know, last year when I, you know, kind of just started getting guests and, you know, but hey, time always work itself out. Things always work itself out. We got him here on the podcast. It was great chatting with you. You've been to WrestleMania 3, was a wrestler. He did his thing, man. So, man, it was a great time. We got to do a part two and we got to do the All Black Wrestling Podcast Convention, man. That sounds really dope. Can't wait to have you on again. Of course, my man Gator Live, anytime, man. You guys are both welcome anytime. And you guys, don't forget to check out the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast, you guys. He's going to have his big guest, returning Vince Russo, you guys. So go follow him and do all that good stuff. And also, man, check out my man Gator Live on all social media platforms with the Down 5 Podcast and Dope Discussions with Erica, you guys. It's been a dope week, man. Awesome week, man. Chatting some wrestling, you dig, man. So happy Friday with everybody. Appreciate you guys joining me back here for another episode, you guys, man. And before I go, don't forget to follow the 1130 Podcast, you guys, on all social media platforms. Follow me on Twitter at Dre on Wheels, Instagram at the 1130 Podcast, like the 1130 Podcast on Facebook. And if you listen on Spotify, don't forget to follow Apple Podcast, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating and a review. Try to get the podcast up and out there even more, you guys. And if you would like to be a guest here on the podcast, if you like it, man, email me. That's the1130podcast@gmail.com. That's the1130podcast@gmail.com. Or DM me, man, you know, so we can collaborate. You know, I love working with people. So, man, dope show. I'm about to get on out of here, man. Hope you guys have a great weekend, you guys. I got some huge announcement coming up on the 1130 Podcast coming up this week on Tuesday, man. So I appreciate everybody sticking through. 1,800 downloads. Let's keep trucking it on YouTube, man. Thank you guys for all the support, you guys, for real. I appreciate it. Thank you, you guys, man. Appreciate you guys sticking with me this week. This is your man Dre, a.k.a. Dre on Wheels. And I'm out.